To help you in our study tonight, I would invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Colossians and to mark the book of Colossians and then turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll begin in the book of Ecclesiastes and we'll use that great book in our introduction, and then we'll be turning over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at Colossians 3 for our study of God's Word tonight. It's looking a little dark outside. We may be getting a little bit of weather here in a few minutes, but that's all right. It's nice to be in a building like this, to be able to worship, and to be able to study God's Word. Again, we're thankful for all of our visitors. Glad that you could be with us as we worship God together. I like the book of Ecclesiastes because the book is truly about understanding the true meaning of life. And as you consider Solomon, we see that Solomon was an individual that was seeking the true meaning of life. And he tried to find the true meaning of life under the sun. You name it, he tried it. He looked to wisdom. He looked to try to find the meaning of life through education, through material things, and he came to the same conclusion: all is vanity. Mm-hmm. We see in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that he tried to find pleasure in wealth. And as I said, he tried to find pleasure in so many different things. But there's a statement that I want you to consider at the very end of the book. And Solomon comes to this conclusion, and I know that this is a familiar conclusion. If you've read the book of Ecclesiastes, it's probably one of your favorite verses. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13, Solomon says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man."
Amen.
If you want to understand what the real meaning of life is, here it is. Don't take God out of the picture. Every one of us in here needs God. And Solomon reveals that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13. Now with that in mind, let's turn over to the book of Colossians. And we're going to focus on Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 11. I realize as we turn over to Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 11, this is another practical section of Scripture. I'm sure that the things that I'll mention tonight are things that we've heard of over the years, but they are things that we need to be reminded of as the children of God. And that's why we study God's Word over and over again. We're prone to forget. And there are really three rules to when it comes to learning. First rule we know is repetition. The second rule is repetition. Third rule is repetition. That's how we learn, and that's why we study God's Word and we read these things. But I want to make a connection here with Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13, and Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, that common phrase, the whole duty of man. Well, what we see here in Colossians chapter 3 might be called the whole duty of man in the New Testament. Here's the New Testament perspective, we might say, of what Solomon was talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13. And so what we're going to see tonight in our study of Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 11, is basic admonitions that will help us live the Christian life. And as you read with me from Colossians 3, 1 through 4, we see the first admonition, verses 1 through 4. As we go through this life, we need to have the proper focus. Listen to what Paul says, beginning at verse number 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ..." Stop right there. Paul is talking about those who have been risen with Christ. He's addressing these admonitions to those who have been risen with Christ. If you're one that likes writing in your Bible, you might write down Colossians 2, verse number 12, because Colossians 2, verse 12 teaches us that we are risen with Christ Christ when we are baptized into Christ.
Okay.
You see, when we're baptized into Christ, we're reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Just as Christ died, so must we die. Just as Christ was buried, so are we buried in the watery grave of baptism. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we are raised from the deadness of sin. God makes us alive. We become that new creature. And so all of these things that Paul is talking about basically are hinged upon this idea, those who have been risen, those who have been baptized, those who are called the children of God are to do these things. If ye then be risen with Christ, you seek those things which are above.
Okay.
Paul says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection. The idea is set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now listen to what he says in verse 3. For ye are dead, dead to sin, and your life is hid with God, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. As we go through this life, Paul admonishes us to have the proper focus. Well, how do we go about having the proper focus in this life? Well, first of all, we can see from our text tonight that we have to learn to seek the right things. Remember Solomon? He was seeking a lot of things. He was seeking a lot of wrong things, trying to find the true meaning of life. And so many are still searching for the true meaning of life. And the only way that one will truly find the meaning of life is by turning to God and seeking God with all of their heart.
That's okay.
Long ago in the book of Jeremiah, God made this promise in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. If you will seek me with all of your heart, then you will find me. It's so important that we learn to seek God with all of our heart. That is how we have the proper focus. You realize that Jesus also taught us to have the proper focus as we go through this life. We know that life is full of distractions. The devil is dangling things in front of us, trying to get our attention, trying to get our focus. Remember how he tempts us. He tempts us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. We made this point in our sermon this morning. We need to beware of things that might look good, that might appeal to the flesh, because that's how he tempts us. And that's why Paul is admonishing Christians to have the proper focus spiritually speaking, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to fix our eyes on things that are above.
Okay.
Now listen to what listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. We'll come right back to Colossians chapter 3, but you're going to see how Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19, connects with what we're reading about in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Now, as we turn over to Matthew chapter 6, we see that this has to do with the Sermon on the Mount, the context, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is teaching us, if we're going to be an ideal disciple of His, a follower of His, we can't find ourselves being distracted about everything in this life. Again, we have to have the proper focus by seeking those things that are above. Listen to what he says beginning at verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures, Jesus says, upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Drop down to verse number 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God wants us to make up our mind like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's the proper focus that we are to have. And so this first admonition here in Colossians chapter 3 encourages us to have the proper focus by learning to seek those things which are above. But Paul continues there in verse number 2. How do we seek those things that are above? In other words, if we have the proper focus, we are to invest in spiritual things, heavenly things. And the only way that we will do that in verse number 2 is by setting our affection on those things, on those spiritual things. Now, the King James uses the word affection. You'll notice other translations will use the word mind. And I believe both ideas are important, but I like the idea of the New King James. Setting our minds on things that are above. And it takes discipline in order to do that. We have to discipline our minds as we seek those things that are above. Remember, the devil is trying to cloud our minds. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, can still happen to us today. He says to the Corinthians, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, his craftiness," listen to the language, "so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We have to be disciplined, Paul says, as we direct our minds to those things that are above, realizing that the devil is trying to corrupt our minds. He's trying to distract us. As you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, 2 Corinthians 11, he's trying to corrupt our minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5, Paul talks about that spiritual warfare that we're in. And he talks about gathering the loins of our mind, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Again, that takes discipline on our part. And so again, how do we achieve that? How do we get our minds focused on things that are above? How do we become disciplined in that sense? Let me give you another scripture. And notice how the scriptures always give us the answers. You don't want my thoughts on this, and I don't want your thoughts. We want God's thoughts. Because God's thoughts are much better and much higher than our thoughts, according to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. But here's God's answer. This is how you accomplish this, mentally speaking. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," listen to it, "think on these things." I don't know about you, but I like thinking. And I like thinking about all kinds of different things. I like building things, and I like destroying things, and you name it. I spend a lot of time thinking. And I remember long ago when I used to have a motorcycle shop and used to build bikes, and mechanically speaking, you would have to sit there and think through all of the different problems, trying to figure things out. Well, spiritually speaking, we need to learn to do that. We need to learn to be disciplined in our minds. We have to learn to think on those spiritual things, which is key to seeking those things which are above. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." You know, if your mind is always focused on the pleasures of this life, if your mind is focused on worldly things, you're going to live a worldly life. Whatever in the heart is going to come out in our life. But if our minds are focused on things that are just, lovely, and of good report, upon the spiritual, then we're going to focus on those things that are above. That's what we're going to be seeking. not earthly things, but spiritually speaking. We will seek spiritual things, but we have to set our minds on those things. Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, will teach us to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we need again to strive to be spiritually minded. But Paul continues in Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. He further reasons or encourages us again to seek those things that are above by saying, "For ye are dead." When did that happen? When we were buried with Christ, we put to death that old man that we are to walk. It's getting a little rough out there. That's all right. We are raised to walk in newness of life. Again, we are new creatures. We have a new lifestyle. Again, Paul is reminding these good brethren, remember, you put to death that old man of sin. And I like what he says. Your life is hid with Christ in the Lord. Well, what's that mean? What is Paul saying again there at the end of verse number 3? Your life is hid with Christ in God. Go over, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And I believe as we read Galatians chapter 2, you'll see exactly what Paul was talking about. And you'll notice as Paul was being guided by the Holy Spirit, a lot of times he would say the same thing to brethren, but in different ways, to help us understand the significance. We can see what Paul is saying in Colossians 3, verse 3. But listen to what he says in Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, as we stop and think about Christianity and what it means to be in Christ and what it means to have the proper focus, think about this point. We have no life of our own. Remember, we put that life away when we became a child of God. We have no life of our own. Everything that we do should be focused on Christ. As Paul would say in Philippians 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ. Notice that focus. Notice that mindset. For me to live is Christ. And I hope we all have that proper focus as we go through life. And then Paul gives us motivation. Notice the motivation in verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Great context, shall appear with Him in glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 14 through 16, where Paul talks about the second coming of Christ. But if that's going to be a reality for me, if that's going to be a reality for you, if we're going to be with Him in glory, underline that, we must live for Him in the here and now. Okay. We have to make good decisions. We have to be Christ-centered as we go through this life if we're going to appear with Him in glory. How we go through this life matters. How we live our life here upon this earth will determine where we spend eternity. If we're going to be with Him in glory, we have to live for Him in the here and now. And if we live for Him in the here and now, think about what John says in Revelation 14, verse number 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. But you can't die in the Lord if you don't live in the Lord.
Okay.
If we have to learn to live in the Lord in order to die in the Lord. But if we die in the Lord, I love verse 4, we shall appear with Him and glory. Dear friends, that gives us motivation to have the proper focus, because there's going to be distractions. There's going to be things that will carry us away from the Lord, that will cause us to drift away. And Peter says we need to learn to gird the loins of our mind and be sober. Lord willing, when we come back next week, we're going to pick up in verse number 5, and we're going to look at this second admonition. Again, the first admonition, 1 through 4, have the proper focus as you go through this life. Lord willing, when we come back next week from Colossians 3, verse number 5, we're going to see that there is a way that God wants us to live. We have to put off the old man and put on the new man. We'll talk about those things that we're to put off and put on. The lesson is yours. I hope tonight's lesson has given you some encouragement to have the proper focus as we go through this life. If we can help you in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.